I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome back, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. It's a fine day to be a sports fan because we've got a full day of March Madness college basketball at your disposal. Games tip off in about 2 hours from now, so make sure you have your getaway planned today. Coming up this hour, Andrew Catalan, he's going to be calling the games tomorrow for CBS Sports in the Nashville pod. He'll join us coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Also this hour, we'll discuss the Packers offseason. Risky, to say the least, letting go of such a popular guy like Jordy Nelson and such a guy that is beloved by the franchise cornerstone in Aaron Rodgers and swapping in a guy that has been certainly less than desirable, less than expected for the Seattle Seahawks and Jimmy Graham. What does this mean? Plus bringing in Mo Wilkerson, who played his way out of town with the Jets. We'll discuss the Packers offseason coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. As always, you can hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You can always connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And remember that you can watch the show, watchda.com. Again, that's watchda.com. Today, there's 16 games. Tomorrow, 16 games. So we're discussing all of them, and I want to give you my rankings. But first off, I'm going to throw a little curveball out at you. Pete the Body Bilotti, this is a good day for me. I feel like laughing today. I feel like a long, good belly laugh today because March Madness is here. It feels like we've gotten through the brutality, the worst parts of winter. It feels like today is a day to just let go and let it go from your soul, to just let it laugh. Happiness is here. The NCAA tournament is now.
Let me try again.
That'll be in the laugh montage.
Awesome.
So awesome. The laugh montage always makes me happier. And so now it's time to count down today's 16 games from 16 to 1. All right, so the least interesting game to me today, is a 1-16, not surprisingly, number 16, Radford taking on number 1, Villanova. Radford has already had a fun time in the dance, winning a first four game, taking on the number 1 Villanova Wildcats, though I think a little bit too much, obviously, for a 16 team anytime. We've never had a 16 beat a number 1, but I specifically think on short rest after the play-in game, this should be short work for Villanova. Number 15, another 1 versus 16. That would be Kansas taking on number 16, Penn. That game is going to be at 2 p.m. Eastern time on TBS. I don't expect that to be very competitive. I will say that coming out of the Ivies, maybe Penn might be able to hang close with Kansas for a first half. Not certainly in the second half, so maybe you watch the first 20 minutes of that and then tune out once Kansas pulls away. 1 versus 16, we still haven't seen one, although I hope we see a 1-16 upset sometime in my lifetime. Number 14, most interesting game today is 2-15. That's Duke versus Iona. Iona is going to have a tough time keeping up with the scoring of Duke. Obviously, the Blue Devils have NBA lottery picks, and so while Duke is a national brand, they'll play in prime time as always, or should I say early afternoon, prime time, if you will, the 2:45 Eastern slot, Duke versus Iona from Pittsburgh. I don't think it's going to be much work for Duke. No breaking of a sweat, and Duke's going to roll along. My number 13 most interesting match for the day is number 4 Arizona versus number 13 Buffalo. Again, I highly expect Arizona to be able to win this thing by double digits, although I will say I don't think the Wildcats have a long stay in the tournament. I believe that they've been worn down a little bit by all of the questions surrounding DeAndre Ayton, the FBI probe, Sean Miller, and everything that's happened around there. Pac-12 was very, very bad this year. Arizona was by far the most dominant team of that conference. It still was only a 4 seed. So maybe Buffalo keep this thing close. They played a decent non-conference schedule. This one's in Boise. This is tonight, 9:40 Eastern time. But by the end of it, I do believe that Arizona wins this game easily. Number 12, most interesting game of the day, was going to be an 8-9 matchup, Seton Hall versus NC State. Two middle-of-the-road power teams, never really get my juices flowing anyway. 8-9 matchups, usually not all that interesting. I do believe Seton Hall wins this game. NC State had its moment to the ACC, but I don't think they'll have another moment of this one. So my number 12 most interesting matchup is Seton Hall, NC State. Number 11 is going to be Tennessee versus Wright State. I think there's a slight chance of an upset of this game. I think Tennessee's a little overvalued here. The SEC seemed to have a bump-up season, but I don't necessarily think that Auburn or Tennessee or some of those other teams will have long stays of the tournament. Is Wright State live today? That's at 12:40 Eastern time on True TV. Number 10, most interesting matchup today. Number 3, Texas Tech against Stephen F. Austin, number 14. Now, the Lumberjacks of Stephen F. Austin have had moments of the tournament in recent years. Can they do it again in this game? This one, though, played in Dallas, Texas, so plenty of in-state fans. This is an in-state rivalry Lone Star, or in-state game, Lone Star game. Texas Tech, Stephen F. Austin, two Texas teams played in Dallas. So maybe there's a little juice for the Lumberjacks to try to pull off the upset here. Is Texas Tech as good as a number 3 seed? Watch Keenan Evans in this game. Excellent player for the Red Raiders. Number 9, another number 8-9 matchup, Virginia Tech against Alabama. This bumps up a little bit higher because it's an 8-9 matchup with Colin Sexton, who's going to be an elite NBA player, or at least elite NBA prospect for Alabama. So watch him in that 8-9 matchup. I like Va Tech, though, moving on. The number 8 matchup I like today, number 6 Houston, number 11 San Diego State. Once you start getting to 6-11s, it's not that much of an upset. Rob Gray for Houston, 18 points per game. He helps make things run, or has this season, rather, for Houston. I think the Cougars end up winning this game, but watch out for a live San Diego State team that is now post-Steve Fisher. The number 7 matchup, I think, is legitimately interesting. The number 6 Miami Hurricanes against number 11 Loyola. The Canes are really well coached. Jim Larrañaga is an excellent guy to oversee everything. Lonnie Walker is a fun dude to watch. I think Miami is very underrated in this tournament. I think Miami's going to win multiple games in the tournament, but Loyola has bounced. They've got juice. They've got an offense. So watch this game. This is when it starts getting interesting on this list. Miami, Loyola of Chicago is going to be on 3:10 p.m. Eastern time on True TV. Number six interesting matchup today, a 4:13 Gonzaga versus UNC Greensboro. Now, look, Gonzaga's got balance. They've got defense. They've got offense. They've got experience. They were in the championship game last year. I think they've got a really good shot to get back to the Final Four again. In fact, I've got them going to the Final Four. But you know what? Gonzaga has had early exits, and so everything is going to be a challenge, I'm sure. Gonzaga versus UNC Greensboro today, 1:30 Eastern time on TNT. Watch it. The number five interesting game, Rhode Island versus Oklahoma. Rhode Island's the better basketball team, but Oklahoma's got one of the most exciting players in the country in the 7-10 matchup. That's Trey Young. The dude has scored from all over the floor all season long, and you would imagine it continues in the NCAA tournament. If there's any chance for OU to move on, Trey Young, who averages 27.5 points per game, is going to have to go off in this one. I like Rhode Island to win, but watch it. It's the one that tips off and maybe one of the most interesting games of the entire first round of the tournament. Rhode Island, Oklahoma, the Rhodey Rams against the Sooners. Number four, a 6-11 matchup, Florida-St. Bonaventure. We just saw the fun night that St. Bonaventure had in winning the first four matchup. That's their first tournament win since 1970. I think the Bonnies keep it going. I could see them upsetting Florida today in that 6-11 matchup. Number three, the top three matchups of the day as we continue looking at all of the game today here in the NCAA tournament's first round. How about Kentucky against Davidson? I find this very, very interesting. If there's going to be a 5-12 upset, this might be it. Kentucky versus Davidson, as Davidson can shoot the lights out. I still think Kentucky moves along, but there could be an upset brewing in a 5-12. Number two, a 3-14 in Michigan, Montana. Again, I think Michigan moves on, but Michigan is everybody's sleeper pick for the Final Four. That thing could get disrupted right off the bat, kind of like their in-state brethren, Michigan State, a couple of years ago against Middle Tennessee State. Remember, everybody thought that Tom Izzo's crew was a sleeper pick for the national championship, and then Middle Tennessee dropped the hammer on them. Can the Grizz of Montana do the same thing? That's tonight on TBS, and the most interesting game, I think, of the day. Another 5-12. We always see a 5-12 upset. South Dakota State against Ohio State. What a job Ohio State did this season following Thad Matta's departure. They get back to the tournament as a 5 seed, but South Dakota State is real live. And watch Mike Dom, 24 points per game for the Jackrabbits. They are a dominant team in their league. They won 28-6 this year. They can absolutely pull off the upset. There's going to be a lot of fans in that building for them. Taco Bell Arena in Boise, Idaho. Watch, South Dakota State fans will travel to Boise. That's not that bad a drive for them. You're going to see the Jackrabbit faithful today. Get after it, 4 p.m. Eastern time on TNT. Ohio State, South Dakota State is the most interesting matchup of the day for me. When we come back here on the show, how risky is the Packers offseason? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
March Madness is here. Tune in all week. TBS, CBS, TNT, True TV, on the go with March Madness live or listen on Westwood One. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Full episodes available on iTunes. So glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Search DA, CBS Sports, and you'll find full episodes of The Da available on iTunes. And a brand new website here for CBS Sports Radio, including The DA Show. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com and check out all the show pages. It's great. Everybody's show page looks really good. Ours has all the audio there as well on a daily basis, so I think you'll really enjoy it. CBSSportsRadio.com. The web peeps did a great job bringing that whole thing together.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. I think Amy's upset at me because I left my brackets open. on the desktop and apparently my Twitter. Now, I always try to log out of everything, but apparently I did not, and that's my mistake. Team NC tweets, how do you not have a screensaver on your computer that kicks in after X number of minutes that requires a password to get back into your desktop? It's a must-have for a million reasons, DA. It's a good question. I don't know. Don't know. IT team around here doesn't have that here. And I said once she went into my Twitter, apparently, and followed herself again because I'd unfollowed her, I would then unfollow her again. That's mean. I should not do that. I will. I'm saying this. I'm going to become a better person. I am going to continue following Amy. I want to see what she tweets about the tournament. I do. I want to see this. I'm turning a cheek. I'm becoming a better person. I'm sorry, Amy. That was wrong. I should not have unfollowed and muted you. That was double not nice. I'm following. I'm all in. She took over the overnight show from us. The baton was passed. They do a great job over there. And so I'm all in. How about that?
Brackets.
How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
How about that?
That's what I just said, Robbie Rosenhaus. How about that?
That is right.
That is right. Okay. So we had Jason Lockenfora on the show. He joined us yesterday. The Green Bay Packers have said goodbye to Jordy Nelson, and they've brought in Jimmy Graham. They brought in Mo Wilkerson. Jets think Mo Wilkerson is too much of a headache. He's too much of a disaster. So they've cut bait with a fan favorite, brought in a guy that was a disappointment in Seattle, brought in a guy who was a headache in New York. How risky is all of this, JLC?
The GM is a rookie GM who was promoted from within, and a lot of people didn't think would be willing to rock the boat like this. And I don't even know that Jimmy Graham is better than him. You know, he can still go get a jump ball a little bit, but I don't know, man. When you factor in the human element, I don't know that that's a net gain for the Packers. And I don't know that Jimmy Graham's days of being a straw that stirs the drink on an offense are here anymore, even with Aaron Rodgers. So I wouldn't have done it, frankly. I mean, it's ballsy, and maybe their convictions will be right, but I wouldn't be, you know, picking fights with Aaron Rodgers right now.
So that's an interesting way to put it, picking fights with Aaron Rodgers. Now, apparently, Rodgers has liked a tweet that threw shade at Jimmy Graham. Oh, what?
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
This is like the most passive-aggressive way to emote nowadays. Or us trying to read the tea leaves and how somebody feels. But Rich Eisen of NFL Network tweeted interesting headline about the Rodgers Packers surrounding Jimmy Graham or surrounding him with Super Bowl talent, starting with Jimmy Graham. Since Graham has never played in a Super Bowl, while Jordy Nelson had 9 catches and 140 yards and a touchdown in one of them. Rodgers liked that tweet.
Electronically ignorant.
So one tweet that suggests, hey, Graham's not Super Bowl caliber. Jordy is, because in their only Super Bowl win under Aaron Rodgers, Jordy had that huge game, 9-for-140 over the Steelers. Meantime, the Seahawks, people forget, went to 2 Super Bowls without Jimmy Graham. The Saints won theirs without Jimmy Graham. Does Aaron Rodgers liking this tweet mean that he's unhappy with this move? I think he's unhappy with this move. But I think he's unhappy with this move because it's Jordy, not because it's Jimmy. I think losing Jordy Nelson, one of his best friends on the team, a security blanket forever, a great locker room guy, a great community guy, Aaron Rodgers has a tight bond with Jordy Nelson. And now he's gone. I think this is more about a tip of the cap to Jordy instead of ripping Jimmy Graham. Now, maybe he's heard some things behind the scenes about Jimmy maybe being difficult to coach or doesn't fit certain schemes and why the Seahawks weren't able to get more out of him. Maybe that's part of it. But I think mostly this is about losing a bud and wanting to salute that buddy on his way out of town. Give him some respect because maybe he was unceremoniously cut in your mind by the team. Look, I totally understand why the Packers did this. Jordy is 33 years old. He's coming off his worst season ever. He was a guy that was built on explosive plays and big D deep threats downfield. He's not that anymore. He was a big cap hit. I could understand why the Packers said it makes sense to move on. He's supremely popular, but you can't always just hold on to guys because they're popular. I don't know about Jimmy Graham. I like the idea of Aaron Rodgers having an athletic, dynamic tight end who is younger than Jordy. But Graham in the offense of the New Orleans Saints was unstoppable. Graham in the offense of the Seattle Seahawks never quite got going. He was fine, but he wasn't dominant. I love the idea of Rodgers and Graham as an unstoppable force. I just don't know if we can count on that considering the last couple of years in Seattle were a real bugaboo for both sides, the team and the player. The Mo Wilkerson addition makes sense because it's short money, no risk. You bring him in, no big deal. If it doesn't work out, he'll be proven or motivated to prove himself on that. But Rodgers is your everything. Rodgers is your cornerstone. Rodgers is the guy that you've got to make sure is okay and happy with everything going on. And it's a tough balance because you don't want him to run the team. You don't want him to run the front office. He needs to be a player first. He can have input, but you also don't want to anger him and get rid of a guy that he wants to play with. But, you know, at the end of the day, if Aaron Rodgers is upset with a move, he only needs to look at Tom Brady as a guy who found a way to get more out of every guy he ever played with. And I'm sure he wasn't happy when they lost Deion Branch to free agency because the Seahawks spent a ton of money on him after the Super Bowl. Or they let go of guys like Troy Brown. Or they let go of guys like Wes Welker. All of those guys were heavy security blankets for Brady over the years. But they kept retooling. The difference is, the Patriots could keep going back to Brady and saying, see, we've done it right before, we'll do it right again. Yeah, we lost Deion Branch now, but we'll do it right again. Yes, we've lost Welker now, but we'll bring in Julian Edelman or bring in Danny Amendola. We've got two tight ends for you. We drafted Hernandez and Gronk. Obviously, Hernandez was a nightmare. But look, at the end of the day, they've got collateral in Brady's mind. Belichick has collateral. A new GM doesn't have that with Rodgers, so this is risky. It's risky if it doesn't work. It's risky to alienate Rodgers. But do I get letting Jordy go? Yeah, I get it. It makes sense. It makes sense logically. But for Rodgers, it doesn't make sense emotionally. And that does have to count for something. When we return, we'll talk March Madness today. It begins in just a couple of hours. Andrew Catalan, one of the voices for Turner and CBS Sports, will join us next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The sweet sounds of Throwback Thursday here on the show. Thanks for being with us. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everybody, there's a quick way you could save money by switching to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. So today we've got day one of the field of 64. Tomorrow, of course, is day number two. Our next guest is calling games from the Nashville pod. He's got Cincinnati, Georgia State, Nevada against Texas, Xavier, Texas Southern, and Missouri against Florida State. He'll be calling games for CBS and the Turner family of networks. My good friend Andrew Catalan joining us here on the show. Mr. Catalan, good morning.
Merry Christmas, DA.
Merry Christmas, as in March Madness Christmas?
Yeah, this is like Christmas Day.
It is. I woke up today and I had such a hop in my step. I was so excited for games today. I would have to imagine being behind the mic, you got to feel the same way.
Yeah, no doubt. This will be my fifth tournament, and each and every year it's an honor. And excited to see these teams. And Nashville's a great city. Come here for the NFL a lot. Great food. We should talk with Mraz about some of the food down here. But no, it's an awesome place, and I think the atmosphere will be fantastic.
What's the go-to meal when you go to Nashville, since you have been there so many times for games?
You got to do the Nashville hot chicken.
Yeah.
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 That's the play for sure.
White meat or dark meat?
I'm a white meat guy.
Mm.
Yeah. And the spicier, the better. That's kind of my key.
Okay. All right. I like to hear this. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Cincinnati, Georgia State. I like this because I want to see how Cincinnati deals with the pressure of being a two seed. I think they are so under the radar as a two. Most of America does not have them dancing into a Final Four, but they're legit good. Can the Bearcats defense carry that team to the final weekend of the tournament?
Well, there's no doubt their defense has carried them all season, and I did their regular season finale at Wichita State, which was an incredible game on CBS. Cincinnati pulled it out at the end to win the conference championship, and then they went on to win the conference tournament as well. You know, look, their defense, number two in the country, only Virginia statistically is better. They've got some real veteran guys that have been through Mick Cronin's system now that know how to play and know the style that he wants. The question for Cincinnati, as it's been for the last several years, is do they have enough offense to score? I'm not worried about their defense. Their defense will hold opponents down. But who do they go to for a big bucket? You think Jacob Evans, you think Gary Clark. That's going to be the question as they get further on in the tournament. Can they score enough points to win? And you know, that's a real big question for me. 30-4, unbelievable season, number two seed. It's all there for them, but I still think that in a big spot, they're going to have to prove that they have enough offense to get over the hump.
You know, Virginia and Cincinnati are built the same way, and they're in the same bracket, the same region, so they could end up fighting it off in the Elite Eight. And I wonder, in a year like this year where there was no superpowers of college basketball, does having an elite defense, is that a great equalizer for these two teams? Are they actually specifically well-geared for March Madness because there aren't great teams this year?
I think it's a great point, DA, and I think there's some truth to that for sure. I mean, you know, doing two games a week since the start of January, you know, Michigan State is probably the best team in terms of talent that I've seen. Arizona, Duke, you put those guys in the mix, but there's no dominant team. So what's going to stand out? Defense. So I think that of all the years, now Virginia obviously had a big injury happen this week, but for Cincinnati, you know, there's not going to be that one team that you're going to go up against that's going to score 90 points per game. You know, the defense could slow down the game. It could put the tempo into Cincinnati's favor. And certainly they've had a wonderful year for Mick Cronin, and they've got a lot of talent on this team. This, you know, as you said, with their defense, that's going to carry them, but I still, 2 minutes to go, where do they go for a big bucket? That's going to be their question.
I don't doubt that Cincinnati can win today or win tomorrow relatively easily against Georgia State. I do worry about Cincy in that next matchup against either Nevada or Texas in the 7-10 matchup there. Out of Nevada and Texas, who do you think is a tougher matchup for Cincinnati?
Well, first, you cannot dismiss Georgia State.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, you know, this is kind of ironic in the sense that the last time Georgia State was in the tournament, Ron Hunter fell off his stool.
They love seeing you.
And yes, they're very, because we did that game, me, Steve Lapis, Jamie Erdahl, and now that they're actually, DA, they're bringing the stool.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes. Yes, they figured it might be their good luck charm. So even though Ron Hunter is fully healed from tearing his Achilles 3 years ago, the stool was on the bus from Georgia State to Nashville. So you got that little part of it with you. And they actually have a phenomenal player in DeMarcus Simons, who's a sophomore. He could be their next NBA guy like RJ Hunter who hit that shot. So I don't want to just dismiss Georgia State because, you know, they have had some success. But if you do look ahead, you know, Nevada had a great year in the Mountain West, but they lost their point guard about a month ago, Lindsey Drew, and they got drilled on last Friday night in Vegas. I did the game in the Mountain West semis against San Diego State, and that injury really worries me. They're not very deep. Now, Texas has had an up-and-down year. They're not as deep. Eric Davis Jr. continues to be suspended because of the alleged allegations in the Yahoo report, but they do have an NBA player, a lottery pick in Mo Bamba. And it seems like this team has really found something down the stretch. And also, when you think about Texas, you think about Andrew Jones, who was their second leading scorer, diagnosed with leukemia around January 1st. And you know, he's been their motivator without him now. So I think Texas has a lot of things going for him. And that would be a really interesting matchup if it's Cincinnati and Texas.
Andrew Catalan's got the Nashville pod starting tomorrow and then, of course, on Sunday as well in the NCAA tournament. He joins us here on the show. So just to go back to Georgia State and Ron Hunter, this was amazing. A couple of years ago, was that 2 years ago now?
2015.
Okay, 2015. 3 years ago now. Coach Hunter tears his Achilles. He's on the sideline of the NCAA tournament, sitting on a stool, coaching because he's got to be on the floor. They win on that crazy shot, and he falls off his stool. You are calling this game. This is the most epic moment in Georgia State athletics history. Are they aware that you as a broadcast team are going to be back calling the game? They've got to be thrilled if they know that.
Oh, they're well aware.
Okay.
They're very excited that we will be reunited. I guess Ron Hunter thinks maybe we're his good luck charm. He actually said that he's just happy that he can actually talk to us without sitting down this year, because last year he couldn't, or 3 years ago he couldn't even walk. So, yeah, they brought the stool. They're very excited. And again, R.J. Hunter is with the Houston Rockets organization. He hit that incredible shot to beat Baylor 3 years ago. But the kid they have now, who's a sophomore, he's already scored more points than R.J. Hunter did that season. This DeMarcus Simons is a player. Now, look, on paper, 215, yeah, Cincinnati is favored and should win this game. But this is what March is all about. You got that little charm of Georgia State, Ron Hunter back in the tournament. So I'm looking forward to this one.
You've got a 116 matchup in Xavier, Texas Southern. Last night, Texas Southern gets its win. And just the joy and just what we saw from Texas Southern, its coach and its players last night, was just so cool. And I think that, you know, they've already had a great story, so I don't know if it needs to be any more. We've never seen a 116 upset. But for Xavier, they're so efficient and they're just so well coached. Why does Chris Mack set himself apart in terms of a coach that you cover?
You know, he's just so steady, D.A. Did them a couple of times this year. I've seen them a lot over the past few years. And, you know, he never gets too high, never gets too low. I know that's a cliche, but when you talk to Chris Mack, you can never get a sense of whether he's really happy with his team or disappointed in his team. And obviously, there's nothing to be disappointed about this year. An incredible run, won the Big East regular season championship, and they've won four of their last five games coming in. And you know, anytime you have a star player like Trayvon Blewett, who's averaging just under 20 points per game, you know, he relies on Blewett to, you know, kind of, you know, set the tone for their offense. So, you know, Xavier comes in, and again, number one seed, 15-3 in the Big East. But when you look at Xavier, are they a dominant one seed? You know, when you think back to previous tournaments, would you put Xavier as one of the four best teams in the country? They proved it during the regular season. They're going to have to prove it again. They went 1-4 this year against Villanova and Providence, and 27-1 against everyone else. I think it's a really interesting team. And the thing that I like about Xavier is they are tourney tested. They went to the Elite Eight last year. They lost to Gonzaga as an 11 seed. Pretty much have, you know, everyone back this year. It's a very veteran crew. And I think that bodes well for Xavier in this tournament.
Xavier, if it wins, will get the winner of Mizzou, Florida State, the 8-9 matchup. And Mizzou is one of the great unknowns of this tournament. They earned an 8 seed out of the SEC without the likes of Michael Porter Jr. Now, Michael Porter's likely to be a top 3, top 5 pick in the NBA draft. What do you think the addition of Porter means to a Mizzou team that played the entire year basically without him?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by Michael Porter tomorrow, and I would think that NBA scouts will be as well. I mean, if you're an NBA scout, how do you evaluate this guy? I mean, obviously, he was a great prospect coming out of high school. He played 2 minutes in the season opener, and then he played 23 minutes last week in the SEC tournament. That's it. He's played a total of 25 minutes the entire season. So if you're an NBA scout, I would imagine you have to be here in Nashville tomorrow, because I don't know how you're going to get a good evaluation of this guy in game competition. He's going to play a lot. Jordan Barnett, who was their second leading scorer for Missouri, arrested over the weekend for suspicion of DUI. He will not play tomorrow. So that means Michael Porter will start. You know, his brother, Jonte, has had an incredible season, a little bit overlooked from Missouri because of all the headlines from Michael. But you're right, D.A., it's a great unknown tomorrow. how will Michael Porter play? I mean, he scored a total of 14 points all year. So I can't wait to see how he's used. And, you know, I think there's some questions like, should Konzo Martin play him a lot, play him a little, mix him in? Does he disrupt the flow of what Missouri's doing? I don't buy into any of that. If this kid was as good as advertised coming out of high school, you play him tomorrow and you play him a lot against Florida State.
You have a following in Buffalo because you've called so many Bills games. You've called Bills preseason games as well. And we were talking about the addition of A.J. McCarron. McCarron signs as a free agent, and Mraz is already declaring that the Bills are the next AFC East dynasty, and by 2019 will win the division and rip supremacy in the division away from the New England Patriots. Do you believe A.J. McCarron is the long-term solution in Buffalo?
Wow, that's a bold statement by Mraz.
Very bold. Very.
Until the Patriots are knocked out, it's hard to pick against them. But I will say that the job that GM in Buffalo, Brandon Bean, and head coach Sean McDermott, in terms of changing the culture, it's a different feel when you go to Buffalo these days. And I think these moves they're making are showing you that, you know, this is a team that was not satisfied with just making the playoffs. And, you know, from the day they came in, the two of them, Bean and McDermott, they've said, we're going to think about winning in the short term, but we're also thinking long term. And every move they make, it just seems to really fit that motto of, yeah, we're going to try to win the division this year, but we're also thinking 2-3 years down the road. It feels like they're building something for the long haul, which with McCarron, yeah, a 2-year deal. He could be the guy, but if he's not, he's the bridge, or assuming a bridge to a younger quarterback that they could draft. That's why the trade for Cordy Glenn when they moved up with draft spots with the Bengals, I think, makes a lot of sense. You could see the Bills be a player for a young quarterback and have that guy sit behind McCarron for at least a year. So I love the moves that they're making. I think there's a lot of excitement and enthusiasm in Buffalo, and I would not bet against Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, that's for sure.
Andrew Catalan joining us this morning here on the show. Final question, since you have a 1-16 matchup, and we've never seen a 16 over a 1, have you thought about what your final call would be if you had the only 16 over 1 upset in NCAA tournament history? You'd want it to live forever. It would live forever. Have you thought about what the final call would be?
A little bit. And I'm open for suggestions.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, is the sweetest 16, is that doesn't work, does it? Because it's like the sweet 16 is different than the 16 seed. So
right,
I'm kind
yeah.
of at the drawing board right now here.
So you have thought about this and you have tried to ruminate on
well,
it.
Well, I mean, a little bit. And not particular to Xavier and Texas Southern, but just over the years. You know, I'm not a big scripter of calls. I don't sit down and like, okay, if Missouri wins, I'm not going to say the Tigers roar over. You know, I'm not going to do that. It just kind of comes out. But 1-16 is historic, and I don't know. It probably would just be it finally happened or whatever came out of my mouth. But I don't think of anything prepared. But if you have any suggestions, certainly send them my way.
Okay, yeah, we'll kick this around. We'll throw it out to the listeners as well because I'm with you. I like off-the-cuff, unscripted
yeah.
final calls, but boy, 1-16 to know that you had the only one ever. God, you'd want that to be the best.
You would. But going back to the ultimate point, you can't. I mean, Ron Hunter fell off his stool is my call when Georgia State won. That's not something the night before that you write down and say, "All right, this is going to happen." So ultimately, it's probably just going to be heat of the moment. But if you have a good suggestion, I'll certainly listen.
The seconds tick off the clock. Holy hot chicken. Texas Southern 78, Xavier 77.
I can assure you that will not be the final call tomorrow. I know that.
Follow my good friend Andrew Catalan on Twitter this March, and then coming up in the Masters as well, at Andrew Catalan. Listen for him, watch for him tomorrow and Sunday on the Nashville pod game to the NCAA tournament on both CBS and the Turner networks. Cat, have a great call, buddy. I'll be watching.
Thanks, Bud. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Andrew Catalan joining us this morning here on the DA Show. I don't know. Holy hot chicken's not bad in Nashville.
The drought is over. Blow out 16 candles.
Did you give Cat that on the way out?
I didn't. I'll text him that.
The drought is over. Blow out the 16 candles.
Yeah, like a little playoff of the 16 instead of using the sweet.
That's not bad.
Not terrible, huh?
Not bad.
Dating back to my Skyline Conference days.
How about that?
How about that?
Eagles fans, we can hear you.
That's right.
If you have suggestions for Andrew Catalan for his 1 versus 16, should that upset happen, you can tweet him at me and I'll pass them along, DA on CBS, or directly at him, at Andrew Catalan. If he uses your final call, he will buy you hot chicken. I promise.
How about that?
How about that? It's a good deal. Gosh, that drop is going to get a lot of run. All right, when we come back, speaking of today's March Madness, you're looking at your bracket. You might love your bracket. I'm looking at my bracket. I hate my bracket. Which top seeds will implode your bracket? I will dissect next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.